You know that feeling when you plan things out, put all these little pieces together, and it comes together in a wonderful culmination? This podcast is not one of those situations. If you read Saturday's supplier report, you would know that one of the rumors floating around over the last few days was that Oracle was thinking about purchasing Accenture. And that was fun. That is a fun topic, especially since we have been talking about cloud and AI so much. This was something different to talk about. And rumors are always fun because it's just conjecture. You could throw a bunch of opinions around. I was psyched. Then I started reading the news on Sunday, and Oracle issued a statement categorically denying any involvement with Accenture and essentially stated they had absolutely no interest in purchasing the company. And that left me with limited choices for a podcast this week. But then I thought about the topic of consulting in general. We haven't talked about it in a while. This news about Oracle and Accenture provided some interesting information about how Accenture operates and how Oracle operates. So because of Oracle's fake interest in Accenture last week, and thanks to the glut of articles discussing it, this week we're going to talk about IT consulting. We're going to discuss some of the trends that I've noticed and some of the issues that consulting firms are going to have to deal with in the very near future. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 65. Before we get to our main story, let's discuss the actual acquisitions that have taken place over the last 7 days.
GE.
They've invested $2 million in Alchemist Accelerator to back up industrial Internet of Things startups. We all know that GE has been very interested in coding and specifically the Internet of Things. They have made that very public over the last year or so. And while GE is not buying Alchemist Accelerators, they are injecting quite a bit of money into them. So what does Alchemist Accelerator focus on? Why would GE invest money in them? Managing partner Ravi Balani said, "Industrial applications and next-gen internet in the industry are exciting right now. Robots and drones are getting a lot of attention, but AI and machine learning advances are also making forecasting and automation possible in ways that we have never imagined." Apple has purchased a company named Workflow, and it is a powerful automation tool for iPad and iPhones. Apple finalized the deal to acquire Workflow last week, a tool that lets you hook together applications and functions within apps in a string of commands to automate tasks. Apparently, this one's been percolating for a while, but it was just confirmed last week. Financial terms of the deal have not been disclosed, which is typical for Apple. In the rumor mill department, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is reportedly showing an interest in a company called Veeam. Recently, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise purchased SimpliVity for $650 million. And bought Nimble Storage for $1.2 billion. The question is, do they have an appetite for a third? Veeam was founded in 2006 by CTO Andrei Baranov and President Ratmir Timashev. The company is based in Bar, Switzerland. Its revenue and customer growth has been doing quite well because it manages to do backups of virtual machines better than just about anybody else, or so says the register. And there's more grumbling about Microsoft buying Citrix, but there's no real new information. So, it's still out in the news, and we'll report if something changes. So, on to our main story, consulting. I'm going to admit that I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of general consulting. You've probably caught a whiff of something that I might have said in previous podcasts, and I certainly think that consulting has a time and a place within an organization, especially if an organization knows they want to get from point A to point B, and may just need a little bit of help getting there and a little bit of extra expertise. I'm not necessarily a fan of the blank check, let's bring in a bunch of consultants in to do something, sort of, maybe. Not a fan of that. And I'll admit that maybe some of that prejudice against the consulting industry may have come from that show House of Lies with Don Cheadle and Kristen Bell. If you haven't seen it, it was on Showtime a few years ago. It was awesome. Here's a clip.
Consulting's like dissing a really pretty girl so that she'll want you more. We need them to think they're almost perfect so we can book that after work. After work. After work really is the goal of all consulting. Get them on the thinking that their business is gonna fail without you. They hire you week in and week out. That's millions and millions in billable hours. That's what we want, baby.
Consulting firms, while I may have just painted a vilified picture, it's not as easy for them to make money as the IT firms that I normally talk about on this podcast and on my blog. A company like Oracle makes a lot of money on software maintenance. And I know most of the people who listen to this podcast are technical and they are very aware of what software maintenance is. But in case my mom and dad are listening, and they really don't listen, about a decade ago, if you went out and purchased software, you would buy it and you would pay a cost, let's say $100 per license. But for large companies, most of them would also pay for maintenance. And that maintenance included updates and upgrades. So you would buy a license for, let's say, $100. And then when the new version of the application comes out, you would be entitled to get that newer version at no additional cost. The reason why you wouldn't pay for each upgrade is because you're paying for maintenance, which is typically 20% of what the original product costs. So that $100, you'd be paying $20 a year for maintenance. And that would get you patches and updates forever, or as long as you paid the $20 extra a year. Those upgrades and patches, they don't cost a lot of money for the company to produce every year. So that extra 20% that they're getting from software that they may have sold you 10 years ago, that's a really good profit stream for them. A company like Oracle has an amazing profit stream for their software maintenance. It is amazing. They are one of the best. And I have to tell you, getting rid of software maintenance from Oracle, they are notoriously difficult to deal with when you decide you don't want to use that software anymore. They make it really hard to stop paying that maintenance, like extremely hard. There are books written about this. Last year, Oracle reported an operating income of 32%. And when you compare that to Accenture, Accenture reported an operating income of 13.7%. So you may be reading that Accenture is acquiring companies and developing their own software, but they are making about half the amount of operating income than Oracle does, which is why a lot of people were questioning why Oracle would even contemplate purchasing a company like Accenture, since the operating income was so much smaller than what they're used to. So a company like Oracle does do consulting. They have to have people, they have to have bodies to help companies configure and install their software when they purchase it. You need someone with subject matter expertise about the particular product so companies can get it running and they feel comfortable buying products from you. But it's clear that there's not a high margin of profit on those bodies because it's a physical human being that you have to employ, provide health benefits for. And yes, they're getting a billable hour, but it's nothing like the returns on a piece of software. So let's take a wider view of IT consulting companies. If you recall during the summer, I spoke about IBM's staff reduction on several podcasts. IBM staff reductions were specifically focused on their global services team. Fortune magazine last year reported that up to 20,000 jobs were potentially at risk for elimination at IBM, and most of those jobs were focused by the global technology services teams. As offshore Indian companies take more of the consulting business away from the IBMs of the world, and to some degree the Oracles, it has become considerably less profitable for those companies to have consulting divisions. Case in point, Hewlett-Packard. The company that was known in 2008 as Hewlett-Packard purchased the consulting firm EDS, which was a Ross Perot company, Electronic Data Systems. Almost from the moment of HP's acquisition of EDS, they started to lose money in that consulting division. Whether it's timing, bad business, I'll leave that for you to decide. But that division was ultimately not profitable. It cost Hewlett-Packard money. EDS stayed with Hewlett-Packard Enterprise when Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and Hewlett-Packard Inc. divested and split. So HPE kept the EDS asset, and that happened in 2014. Last year, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise announced a spin merge with CSC, a company that was also struggling to remain profitable in the consulting area. And that company had just divested a portion of their business into a government services arm. And the best that I can tell, when Hewlett-Packard in 2008 purchased EDS, the company was about 311,000 people strong. It was estimated that EDS had about 177,000 employees. As Hewlett-Packard ran into profitability issues with their consulting arm, they started shaving off people. Initially, the company got rid of about 55,000 people. And then they may have cut another 25,000 to 30,000 people as well. So there could have been anywhere from 50,000 to 85,000 people that moved over to the new HPE/CSC company, which is known as DXC, which is a terrible name, by the way. I'm not going to give them a pass. That sounds like a detergent. One would have to assume that DXC is also probably going to go through some degree of labor reductions as a result of this combination, because consulting isn't as profitable as it used to be. And why is that?
deck. Basically a PowerPoint presentation for the client. That's what we do.
We make PowerPoint decks and we stuff them with numbers to sell our way of fixing the company.
Just enough to sell them some more.
On paper, consulting should be less profitable because software has gotten better. So let's go with that for a second. Let's assume that these companies that have been making software and now are making cloud applications and are making artificial intelligence, these applications are so good that you need less consulting to configure them and obviously need less bodies to keep them maintained. I actually believe the second part of that. The first part about ease of configuration and initial implementation, no. I don't think that these software packages are getting any easier to put into companies. But I do think the proliferation of software as a service and pre-existing cloud applications are making it easier for companies to get the applications that they need. And what I guess I'm saying is companies are conforming to the software versus the software conforming to the company. Now, there are some old school companies that do not conform, and you need a lot of consultants and a lot of bodies thrown at these things to fix it and make it work within a specific corporation. However, if you're a smaller company, you probably have learned the lesson of these other companies. So there's a whole crop of IT professionals out there now that know the common mistakes. And even as I'm saying that, and we all know those common mistakes and horror stories, people still make those mistakes, but less so. So yes, software is eating into the consulting business. There's no question, but it's a different kind of software. It's a different kind of mentality, and it's a different kind of customer. And there are more traditional firms that are still doing the traditional model, but it's dying off slowly. So for a company like Oracle, who clearly has a focus in making profit via the cloud and infrastructure as a service and platform as a service, buying a consulting firm makes absolutely no sense. For a company like IBM, who is shifting to an artificial intelligence, cognitive, security-driven, cloud-based company, having 150,000 to 200,000 consultants globally that are not focused necessarily on those core four areas doesn't make a lot of sense. And that's why you're seeing massive reductions in those areas. For a company like Hewlett-Packard or Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, whom I have no idea what they're focused on, selling servers and storage, I guess, having a consulting division makes absolutely no sense. Although they just said that they wanted to buy more consulting and services firms, so whatever. For the last year, I have been talking about disruption and transformation on this podcast and how these older companies are transforming into something new. They're buying and building new services and cannibalizing the old things that they did. The formerly profitable classic services that they provided are dying off. They're eating it and turning it into something new. That's the natural cycle. If you want to be a company that survives 150 years, you have to know when it's time to get rid of the stuff that isn't working or won't be profitable soon. Hopefully you can sell it and make a little bit of money when you're getting rid of it. But you cast it off and you build something new, something that's going to last another 20 years until the next thing kicks in and you have to change it all over again. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.